I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. There are several things that I want to talk about today that I don't know if I'm going to get to everything, but there are some things that are very important, and we need to break the narrative that's going on. We need to defy what has been dictated to us by the media and start addressing the real important issues as they exist. And one of the things that I really want to talk about today is this issue of federal regulations trumping state law, trumping creating law, and trumping the rights of the people. And this is a habit that Congress has been in for quite some time now, and it's now a habit that the Supreme Court and the federal courts have been in, and trumping not only the people's rights, the state's power, and everything in it. You know, we've talked about the Supreme Court trumping the state's power in the most recent Obamacare decision, translating the words written by Congress as exchanges established by the state, meaning, you know, not the state, but the federal government. And I want to point out something that I found in my research. This is by far not the first time that the Supreme Court has allowed federal regulatory agencies to trump state power. And this is a really, really big deal. There's a lot going on in America right now. There's a lot of crises, a lot of tragedy, a lot of stuff I don't want to diminish the tragedy of what's going on, but man, I can't help but think, what in the world is happening in the background? All of this stuff is just crazy. We're going to talk about the Islamication of America, and I believe the major source of the Islamication of America. But I want to talk about this issue now with the regulatory agencies creating law and the courts using regulation to trump our state power. Now, remember, in the Obamacare decision, the majority opinion written by Justice Roberts in his true schizophrenic form decided that the words of the exchange created by the states was not necessarily limited to an exchange created by the states. It could also mean the state an exchange created by the federal government. And it was purely legislation from the bench. But I want to cite to you the precedent for that. Even though it was clear what they were doing, there is actually precedent for what they've done. And the case is EPA versus EME Homer City Generation. Now, this is a case that came to vote 6-2 in the Supreme Court, and it was a 2013 case. Justices Scalia and Thomas were the two that dissented in this EPA versus EME Homer City Generation. And what happened was that Congress, under the Clean Air Act, required states to develop plans to keep polluters within their states from sending pollution downwind to other states. The EPA, not Congress, decided that the state's plans were not satisfactory. And the EPA simply ignored the statutory directive for the states to create their own plans and then issued, quote, the transportation rule. This rule imposed a plan on 27 what they called upwind states, disproportionate to the actual pollution each state emitted, causing those states to shoulder more than their fair share of the burden. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of the EPA's writing law and ignoring congressional directive that the states create the plans. Now, you guys know that there are so many things wrong, wound up in all of this, okay? Number one, the environment is not the job of the federal government. It is not the job of the federal government to even require the states to create an environmental protection issues or laws. But here is the real focus today, because you guys already know that the EPA should not even exist. The real focus today is the fact that Congress keeps creating laws and then refusing to stand up for the language of their laws, or creating laws so vague that the regulatory agencies are given a legislative power. Who did you vote for in the EPA? Just think about that. Who creates regulations within the EPA that you voted for? Not a single solitary person. There's not any person in the EPA that any person in the United States has voted for. They're all bureaucratic appointees, hired by bureaucratic appointees, creating regulations that have been viewed even by the Supreme Court as actual law. This is crazy, America. This is just more legislation without representation. This is, and if you'll allow me this statement, this is the height of legislation without representation. Because now we have regulatory agencies not simply creating laws that steal the property from the people. Property meaning money, property, and rights. Because remember, we have a property in our rights as well. When the government can tell you what, how you can use your land, it steals every other right that you have as well. And so we now have regulatory agencies taking the role of state government. Congress has taken the role of state government by creating these EPA laws and creating the EPA and in altogether. But now they have handed that stolen authority over to the regulatory agencies. And so we wonder how the Supreme Court can take language from Obamacare and say that exchanges established by the state really means exchanges established by the feds, when they've been doing this now for quite some time. The Supreme Court deciding that plans created by the states really means that it can be plans created by the EPA if the EPA doesn't like what the states are doing. Now, here's the response that ought to be happening. Congress, who is writing this legislation, who is voting and debating and ratifying this legislation into unlawful law, mind you, ought to be responding by simply saying, hey, no, state means state. And that's what we meant when we wrote it. And this whole shift of responsibility is what is really, really alarming to me. This shift of responsibility from the Congress to the regulatory agencies. Because you see, Congress is now writing law that increases the power of the regulatory agency and not standing for their oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, but, oh, I hate to say it this way, but even more so, failing in their obligation to represent the people and the states. Come on, we have federal regulatory agencies saying that states have no power and they don't exist to have power, and that the federal government has more power. Goodness gracious, people. That's the whole purpose of the Senate. To stand in defense of the states. Who do these people represent in the Senate? I mean, we keep running to the federal government to do things that they shouldn't be doing. And we ignore the role that they're really actually supposed to be fulfilling. This is insanity, people. This is absolutely insane. The federal government expanding the power of regulatory agencies to not only usurp the power of the states, but to usurp their own power. And then doing absolutely nothing about it. And now, Obama is going to take internet and turn it into a commodity, turn it into a program for welfare. Yeah, first phones, and now internet. The White House statement says, while many middle-class U.S. students go home to internet access, allowing them to do research, write papers, and communicate digitally with their teachers and other students, too many lower-income children go unplugged every afternoon when school ends. They call it the homework gap. When will this end? Are we going to have an automobile gap? Are we going to have a cartoon gap? Are we going to have, a lollipop gap? When are we going to stop providing services to the people through federal funding? Do you know this really just grows the federal government and shrinks the liberty of the people?
Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
This expansion of the federal government into subsidizing industries, I mean, can you really see where this goes? The federal government declaring that air should be regulated by them, of course, and then trying to give the illusion of state deference to state power and state authority by Congress writing laws that says, you know, we will allow the states to establish this because, you know, I think this just indicates and proves that they understand that the environment, that these issues are really powers reserved to the states. And the only reason that they can get any of this legislation passed is because they defer to the power reserved to the states. And it's a big fat lie. Because then they allow the agencies to deny the state their reserved powers and trump them. And then do nothing about that. Do you see how boldly Congress lies to us? Do you see how blatantly they allow this to happen and we don't even realize it? The Republicans going along with this. When was the last time you saw legislation that was presented by the GOP in the House or the Senate that says, hey, we don't agree with this interpretation by the EPA? We don't agree that the FDA should be raiding Amish farmers, and we're going to clarify, and we are going to remove power from the EPA and the FDA. Seriously, I want you to stop and think about that for a minute. When have you seen any legislation from the GOP hit any of the floors on this? Their silence in these issues indicate their loyalty to federal power and their intended destruction of state power. And now we're going to have the federal government subsidizing low-income Americans to have internet because of the homework gap. What's next? The federal government does not have the power and the authority delegated to it to subsidize the poor. If the states want to do that, then the states need to do that through their people. Not through the federal government stealing money from the people under false pretenses of income tax to then turn around and hand it to someone else. I want to remind you what George Washington said. He said, I think the Parliament of Great Britain hath no more right to put their hands into my pocket without my consent than I have to put my hands into yours for money. Do you see what's happening here? The federal government is extorting money from you to give to someone else. That is theft. That is illegal. How is it that we allow the federal government to engage in an activity that we would shoot a robber over? That we would not allow our next door neighbor to do? How is that even possible? How is it that a subject, George Washington was a subject to a king, believed that this government, to whom he was called a subject, had no right to put their hands into his pocket than his neighbor to put his hands in his pocket? We are not subjects, people. We are free men in a constitutional republic. Don't you think that that should even be more egregious to us than to George Washington? And so now we've got to realize what George realized, that running to the federal government and asking them, I just can't even say this out loud, asking them to stop stealing from us. Oh, will you please stop taking our money? Will you please stop stealing our money for someone else's benefit? I just want to beg you. It's ludicrous. He says, and this being already urged to them in a firm but decent manner by all the colonies, what reason is there to expect anything from their justice? Listen up, people. Stop asking for them to stop stealing from you and start standing against the theft.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Stealing from us. You know, income tax was never supposed to work this way. As a matter of fact, there was never even supposed to be an income tax. Our framers would be freaking out right now over an income tax. I mean, Samuel Adams said, if they can tax our wages, then what's next? Our land, the produce of our land, everything that we use and everything that we possess? It was totally against their conscience for government to tax their wages. and completely outside their realm of understanding to allow government to tax their property and what you create from your property. But now not only are they taxing that stuff, they're giving it. They're taking it from you unlawfully to give to someone else. Oh, my goodness. And then we have crazy, crazy things going on everywhere. I want to point out to you this expansion of the court's power, which obviously did not occur with the federalization of marriage or Obamacare. It was Marbury versus Madison in 1803 where the court said, quote, "It is emphatically the province of and duty of the judicial department to say what the law is." No, it's not, Justice Marshall. That is not what the Supreme Court was delegated the power to do. And if we had any type of reading comprehension, we would understand that. All these federal supremacists point out Article 3, Section 2. The judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity. And then they stop reading. That's it. Shall extend to all cases in law and equity. But that's not where that section ends. The judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution. The laws of the United States and treaties made, or which shall be made, under their authority. Hello? The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. The Constitution only delegates specific enumerated powers to the federal government. The judicial power is limited to those powers established, enumerated specifically to the federal government. If it goes beyond what is specifically enumerated, it is not the power of the courts either. The federal courts have no jurisdiction over marriage. They have no jurisdiction over criminal cases. They have no jurisdiction over the environment. They have no jurisdiction over any power that has been reserved to the states. Why? Because it is not arising under the Constitution and under their authority. Do you see how we choose what we want to see and what we don't want to see? And then we allow our opinions to be bolstered by what we want to see. This is just crazy. We've lost our way, America. We have absolutely lost our way. We have no reading comprehensions. And I think the problem is that we don't actually read the Constitution. We read what other people wrote about the Constitution. And so we don't see that the language is very clear. Do you know that our judges do not have lifetime appointments? The judges, Section 1 of Article 3 says, the judges, both of supreme and inferior courts, shall hold their offices during good behavior. Can you imagine? Good behavior. What would be bad behavior? What would be bad behavior is expanding the power of the federal government, expanding their own power as well. Because I'll remind you that the judicial department is part of the federal government. So what do you have left then? This absolute ignorance of the Constitution and absolute ignorance of the limitations of the federal government, compounded by the fact that Congress wants us to believe that they're actually doing their job when they create laws that reserve power to the states and then simply do nothing at all when the federal regulatory agencies elected by no one expand that power. There is no hope in the federal government. There is none. Is there a senator out there who actually understands the limited nature of the federal government and their role not to represent the federal government, but to represent and defend the states. Is there a senator out there who actually understands that? Is there a House rep out there that actually understands that their role is to defend the Constitution and create and maintain a limited government through spending and through defunding and to represent the people and not to be defenders of national security? I don't think so. We have had another shooting. And of course, the media is completely ignoring where that shooting is coming from. And so now we get here from Tennessee. Representative Marsha Blackburn tells Breitbart News in a phone interview that America needs to strengthen immigration enforcement to protect our national security. And she says, what's the top area concern? What's the top issue? She says, what? National security. The number one issue, she says, in her mind is national security. No, Miss Blackburn. The number one issue on your mind should not be national security. The number one issue in your mind should be the preservation of the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. How do you preserve liberty should be the number one issue on your mind. The problem is that she's correct about something. She says, this is what people think about at night. Are my children going to be safe? Am I going to be safe when I'm out and about in the community? This is one of the top areas of concern, and I think it just puts more focus on that concern. And that's what she's going to be looking for, to ease those concerns of the people. Do you know what the irony of this situation is? That if she realized that her ultimate job was to preserve the liberty of the people, that the people would not have a top concern of national security? We've had four Marines killed in a gun-free zone. Let me say that again. Four people killed, others injured, in a gun-free zone. Representative Marsha Blackburn, if Congress was concerned about fulfilling their job description as it is to be fulfilled by the Constitution of the United States and the oath that they've taken, they would be fighting to maintain the right of the people to keep and bear arms, rather than having, you know, their so-called common sense discussions on gun regulations. You see, if you preserve liberty, national security is not an issue. ISIS is not an issue if you preserve liberty, because ISIS cannot do anything when the whole body of the people are armed, because the whole body of the people then train their children up at a young age. Come on now, give me a stinking break. If we preserved the right to keep and bear arms the way we believe the right to drive a car exists, when do you start teaching your child how to drive? I know in the places where I live that kids are allowed to drive their cars well beyond the age of 15 in private roads and that sort of thing, and on parking lots. So if the right to keep and bear arms was felt as necessary as the ability to drive a car, do you realize we would be teaching our children at a young age how to keep and bear arms? We would be doing that. And we would be training them up. Gun accidents would go down. And the national... Hello, people. The national security of our countries would be safe and secure by the whole body of the people. What is your top area of concern, Congress? Your top area of concern should be preserving the rights of the people so that they can protect themselves. But you know that doesn't serve the interest of the federal government. It doesn't serve the interest of the federal government to preserve the liberty of the people, because preserving the liberty of the people diminishes the power of the federal government. And then we can't have all these crises. And then we can't have Marsha Blackburn and the rest of the GOP Republicans running around trying to keep us safe by increasing the arms of our country, and by increasing the power of the federal government over our personal dominions. We are occupied by a standing army because we do not have the capacity to protect ourselves, because we've been brainwashed into believing the federal government's rhetoric that guns kill people, but government with guns makes you safe. What? Private citizens with guns are dangerous, but government with guns is the epitome of safety? Yeah, just one more issue that would make our founders' heads explode. They did not preserve the right to keep and bear arms because they were afraid the deer and the rabbit would try to disarm us. They did not, were not afraid that the sportsmen would take our guns from us, and they were not afraid that the criminals would organize to disarm. They believed that the government would steal our guns. And here we are, turning into slaves under our own ignorance. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up. I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my shit till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Wow, am I actually going to hit all the things that I wanted to hit today? I don't know. I'm a little intimidated to go into the next topic with the limited amount of time we have, but maybe that will be helpful. Barack Obama is proving to us a very important principle that our framers knew that we've forgotten because we don't read the Constitution and we don't care why our framers created the Constitution in the manner that they did. We think that they're stupid, dead people, and what they said was irrelevant to our newly advanced, intellectually superior times. But Barack Obama is proving to us why our framers required the natural-born citizen qualification to be president. Okay, here we go. Just briefly, if you want to learn more about this, you need to go to Publius Hulda's article on natural-born citizen. She has covered this issue so extensively that I don't even dare touch it, because it's her analysis is so complete and so detailed that anything else, I think, would just diminish the authority of what's happening. And so our framers required a natural-born citizen requirement of our president. A natural-born citizen requirement, according to our framers' standard, not to this modern standard, but according to our framers' standard, required the parents, two parents who are citizens, to be the parents of a natural-born citizen. If your parents are not both citizens at the time of your birth, then you are not a natural-born citizen. Period. If you know what the framers wrote, and you read that the resources that they relied upon to create this, you cannot argue that. It must be two parents who are citizens at the time of birth. Now, why? because you cannot have a fractured loyalty and be commander-in-chief over the military of the United States. That's the whole point. You cannot have a fractured loyalty and be the person who writes the treaties with foreign governments. You must have an undying, unwavering loyalty to the United States. That's the whole purpose. You realize when we had our first presidents, there were no natural-born citizens because everybody was born British. But the requirement at that time, when there were no natural-born citizens, to be president of the United States, you had to be actively involved in the independence battle, which proved your undying loyalty to the United States. Obama is totally proving why that is necessary. So we have four Marines murdered by a radical Islamist. And Obama sends out a celebratory message to the Muslims around the world on the White House Twitter account 2 hours before he tweets on the fact that we have lost four Marines killed by an Islamic gunman. Really? Where is the loyalty of our president? The loyalty of our president is being made known time and time again with his Iran arms deal. And now he is going to sign an agreement that equates to $1,300 on every American family, a stimulus package. We are going to pay $1,300 from every American family, a stimulus package for Iran. And where are we? With a president who is not a natural-born citizen and is proving why we must have natural-born citizens. His loyalty is not with us. His loyalty is not with the Constitution. His loyalty is with the loyalty of one of his birth parents. And this is why we cannot dilute what our framers did and said. They did what they did on purpose. And now what's going to happen? That we have federalized marriage. And this clearly Muslim president has the power to define marriage. What are we going to do when the federal government says marriage is defined under Muslim law? It's over, people, when we get rid of the standards that our framers established. It's time for us to return to our foundational principles. God bless. See you tomorrow. Get in our way.